24, verses 20 through 22 through 25. And therefore it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but also for us. It shall be imputed to us who believe in him who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered up because of our offenses and was raised because of our justification.
Thank you, Brother Chris, for reading the Word of God. Just good to be here today, isn't it? And several people have already mentioned that. And you know, when God, by His purpose and plan, makes it so that we can't meet together, you really appreciate what you have or what you're missing and what you need. And so we're glad to be here today, and we're glad that we can enjoy fellowship with one another, and most of all, that we can worship our great God. Will you join me now in prayer as we bow and we ask God's help as we look into His Word this morning? Let's pray together. Father, what a great privilege it is to be here today, and just to enjoy the fellowship with one another, to just be Your people gathered together to worship You. What a great joy that is. And yet, Father, as good as that is, there is a higher and deeper joy, Father, and that is to know You and to fellowship with You. And we understand this morning that part of that fellowship is listening to You as You speak to us. And Father, we have Your Word before us, and we ask now for Your help. Please protect us from thoughts that would wander. Protect us from weariness that might cause us to slumber. God, help us to choose to focus now on You. And God, by the power of Your Spirit, open our spiritual eyes and ears to see You and to hear You this morning from Your Word. God, help us. We need Your help. And God, may You be greatly glorified as we not only hear this Word today, but we do this Word today. For Your glory and honor, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We're now coming to the last part of Romans chapter 4 in our study of justification by faith alone in Jesus Christ. And if you think back to this study, and I don't know how long we've been in it, I haven't really looked at that, but we've been in it several months looking at this subject, and actually Romans chapter 3, Romans chapter 4. But all through this chapter, Romans chapter 4, Paul's been giving place, and Paul's answer over and over is that being declared righteous by God is by grace through faith. It's not by good works. It's not by keeping the law. It's not by being good. But this faith as the means of justification is clearly declared by Paul throughout this chapter. Go back to Romans chapter 4 and look with me at verse 5. Romans chapter 4, verse 5, because there's no clearer statement in Romans chapter 4 of what we've just said. Romans chapter 4, verse 5, "But to him who does not work, but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted for righteousness." And so God justifies, or He declares righteous, the ungodly who have faith in Him through Jesus Christ. Now, Paul spends most of Romans chapter 4 using the Old Testament example of Abraham to describe and explain this justification by faith. And so we now come to the end of the chapter, and it seems like Paul is just bringing everything together in these last few verses in summarizing this teaching of justification by faith in Jesus Christ. And so with that summary in mind, I'd like to take just a few weeks and bring all these truths together, and I think this will be helpful and beneficial to us. And if you're here this morning for the first time, then actually you're going to get several months' worth of teaching in the next few weeks to bring everything together. And I do believe this will help us all. Now, we need to ask some questions, and Paul actually answers those questions from the text. And so the first question that we'll look at and we'll answer this morning is this: who or what must we believe in order to be justified? Who or what must we believe in order to be justified? So we pick up this question in the middle of verse 24. Verse 23 and 24 say that the reason that this was written about Abraham back in Genesis chapter 15, verse 6, the reason it was written that Abraham's faith was imputed or credited or counted as righteousness was for our sake, not just his. So let's look at that. Look at verse 23 and 24. Now, it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but also for us. Now, I want you to focus on that little phrase, but also for us. And I don't want you to miss it, because here's the Apostle Paul, the Apostle of Jesus Christ, telling us today, this morning, that God had us in view when he inspired Moses to write those words in Genesis chapter 15, verse 6, it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now, what that means today is this, that God wants you to take his word today very personal. And by the way, God wants you to take his word personal all the time. But here in this passage, as we've worked our way through Romans chapter 4, and we're looking at this subject, this very important subject of justification by faith, that God wants us to see ourselves. He wants us to make this very personal. He wants you to read this morning and hear this morning and know that you are being addressed personally by God in these statements. And it's like God would speak to us, and I'll say it in another way. We have His Word right before us, but it's like He says, faith will set you right with me. So trust me. Believe in me. Receive the righteousness that I will freely give by faith in Jesus Christ. You don't have any righteousness of your own. I have righteousness, and I will give it to you. Receive it by faith. You see, God wants us to take this very personally today. Now, I want you to notice in the middle of verse 24 that Paul begins to tell us who it is that we must trust. Now, please don't take this for granted. I mean, we've worked our way through Romans chapter 3 and Romans chapter 4, and you know, many, many believers here in this room this morning, but please don't take this for granted. Look at your own life, and look at the lives of others. Be an instrument in God's hand to share His grace. Understand this justification by faith alone in Jesus Christ. Look what Paul says in verse 24. He says, it shall be imputed to us who believe in Him who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered up because of our offenses and was raised because of our justification. Now look carefully, because Paul says, it shall be imputed or credited or counted to us who believe in Him. Do you see that? Who believe in Him. This is the one in whom we have faith to be justified. Paul identifies in this statement, and actually he does it throughout Romans 3, Romans 4, Romans 5. Paul identifies and declares the one in whom we must trust. Notice that Paul identifies the God that we trust by what God has done. And so when Paul says that faith is imputed or credited by God as righteousness, and he says that this was written to us who have faith, and then he tells us what God has done, then we see and we hear and we learn the basis and the content of our faith. Folks, this morning, let me say it perhaps in a clearer way. Your faith must have content. Amen. Your faith must be based on something, or even more accurate, your faith must be based on someone. You see, we can't be here today and say, I have faith, and think that we are right with God because we have faith. You must have the right faith. Your faith must be in the right person. You see, just having faith will not bring justification. There must be faith in a person. And Paul very clearly in this statement says that we have faith in Him, in God. We can sum up the basis of this faith then in three statements that Paul makes about God, and we see it here in these verses. Paul says that this God in whom we trust works with incomprehensible power. Paul says that this God in whom we trust gives us a merciful redemption. And Paul says this God in whom we trust performs in perfect justice. Folks, all of Romans chapter 4 has been about the means of justification, and the means of justification is faith, God's grace through faith. And Paul has hammered that truth that justification is by faith. But now, get this, in the last sentence of this chapter, or in the last sentence of this description that he gives, Paul returns to the basis of justification by faith. And the basis of justification by faith is what God did in the work of Jesus Christ. And faith is how we get connected with the great work of God through Jesus. And so Paul ends this chapter then by drawing our attention to God through Jesus Christ. Now that brings us to a second question. Who is this God in whom we believe? Who is this God? Let's look at Paul's description of God, who is the basis of our justification. Notice, first of all, that Paul says, he doesn't say it in these words, but this is the truth that he shares, that this God in whom we trust works with incomprehensible power. Look at verse 24. He says, who believe in Him who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. Now, why did Paul mention the resurrection of Jesus from the dead first of all in describing God? Why did he do that? Go back to verse 17. Remember now that Paul has used Abraham as an example throughout Romans chapter 4 in describing and explaining justification by faith. Paul says that Abraham was justified by faith. He uses him as an example. Verse 17, Paul links the power of God in raising Jesus to the power of God in giving the birth of Isaac to Abraham and Sarah. Notice what he says. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations in the presence of Him whom He believed, God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. And so Abraham believed in the one who gives life to the dead and calls into being that which does not exist. Now in Abraham's life, for Abraham, the immediate focus was on the promise of God to give him a son. That son that we know is Isaac. When Abraham was 100 years old and Sarah was 90 years old and was barren. And folks, this was utterly and completely impossible. But Abraham believed God. Look at verse 19 and 20. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old, in the deadness of Sarah's womb, he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. Now, what Paul says and what he does as we bring these things together, this last statement, he says that we today must trust this same God. That we today must have this same kind of faith. And the faith that God counts for righteousness is a faith in a God who raises the dead. And folks, He raised Jesus Christ from the dead. This is the one that we trust. The one who raised the Lord Jesus Christ from the dead. Now, the reason we say that we trust in this God who has incomprehensible power is because God raised the dead. God raised Jesus from the dead. God gave life to the dead. Now see, I can stand before a group of people where the majority of people here today are Christians, and I can say that, and frankly, that can go through your thinking pretty fast, because we accept that. We believe that. That's a part of who we are as Christians. And yet, I want you to think about it. How many people here today have seen someone raised from the dead this week? How many people here today have seen someone raised from the dead in the past year? The past 60 years? How many people here today have ever seen anyone raised from the dead? I'm not seeing any hands. Think about it. Think about the amazing, incomprehensible power of God that He raised Jesus from the dead. One who was dead, He brought to life. What power? What might? Folks, this is inconceivable to most people. And that's why they reject the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Talk to people. Talk to people. They reject God because they reject the resurrection. They reject Jesus because they reject the resurrection. They reject the God who raised Jesus from the dead. And so let me be plain as I can this morning. There is no Christianity without the God who raised Jesus from the dead. You can call it what you want. You can call yourself a church. You can call yourself a Christian. You can call it Christianity. But if you reject the God who raised Jesus from the dead, if you reject the resurrection of Jesus Christ, it is not Christianity. Amen. And it is not a church. And you are not a Christian if you reject the resurrection of Jesus Christ. This is why this truth is so important. This is why Paul brings this in, to make sure that we understand this, we comprehend this. Folks, there is no faith that brings justification without a faith in the God who raised Jesus from the dead. That's how important these words are that Paul gives us. You see, God did what people said could not be done. He raised the dead. He brought Isaac out of the dead womb of a 90-year-old woman in Abraham and Sarah's experience. He brought Jesus out of a tomb after 3 days and declared Him to be Lord over all. Therefore, God can fulfill every promise He makes because He is a God of incomprehensible power, and we can trust Him. This God in whom we trust is a God who works in incomprehensible power. He raised Jesus from the dead. Look at a second description of this God in whom we must believe. Number two, this God in whom we trust gives a merciful redemption. Notice the first half of verse 25. Paul says, who was delivered up because of our offenses. Now he's talking about Jesus. We're believing in God who raised Jesus from the dead, and this same Jesus was delivered up because of our offenses. And so the thing that I want you to see, and I think the point that Paul makes here, is that the death of the one God raised from the dead is a death by design. It was a planned death. It was a purposeful death. God designed this death, and He designed it for a purpose. Now look again closely, first part of verse 25, because Paul says, who, that's Jesus, who was delivered up, handed over, given up, because of our offenses, because of our transgressions. Jesus was delivered up. So we ask ourselves, by whom? By the Jews? By the Romans? By the soldiers? By Herod? By Pilate? No. None of these people delivered up Jesus because of our transgressions. They had a hand in it, but yet none of these delivered up Jesus because of our sins, because of our transgressions. Hold your place in Romans and turn to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, and look with me at verses 22 and 23. Acts chapter 2, verses 22 and 23, because here we have a clear answer. Acts 2, 22 and 23. The Apostle Peter is standing before a huge crowd of Jewish people on the day of Pentecost, and he begins to preach and he begins to proclaim to them. And notice what he says, Acts 2, verse 22. He says, "Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves also know, Him being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands, have crucified and put to death." Folks, God delivered Jesus to death. Look at Romans chapter 8, verse 3. Romans chapter 8, verse 3. Paul says, "For what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. On account of sin, He condemned sin in the flesh." Do you see it? He sent His own Son. Look at Romans 8:32. Paul continues, and he says, "He," speaking about God, "He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things?" Folks, I submit to you this morning that the death of Jesus Christ was by the design of God. It was by the purpose of God. God planned His death. In other words, Jesus did not just die, but Jesus was delivered over to death by God. So we begin to understand Paul's statements here at the end of Romans chapter 4. That design and that plan had a purpose. Back to Romans 4, verse 25. "Because of our offenses, because of our transgressions, God's design was to deal with the offenses and the transgressions and the sins." And folks, God would provide a substitute death so that we would not have to die for our own transgressions and our own sins. And the only death that could do was the death of God the Son. And that means then that our sins are not swept under the rug of the universe. Our sins are not overlooked by God. They are condemned. They are judged. They are punished by the righteous creator and judge of the universe. And that condemnation and that judgment and that punishment and that execution was put on Jesus. And in God's great mercy, He redeemed us. We deserved nothing, and God redeemed us. God paid the price of our sin. God put the judgment that we deserved on Jesus. And when we believe, when we trust in this God through Jesus Christ, that full, redemptive, sacrificial work of Jesus becomes ours. Ours. And we're rescued from the penalty of hell. And we are ransomed from the judgment of God. And we are mercifully redeemed from the punishment of God. And this is the God we trust in order to be justified. This is the God in whom we trust to have a merciful, gracious redemption through the death of Jesus Christ. There's a third description by Paul. Look at Romans 4:25. Number three, this God in whom we trust performs a perfect justice. So this God that we must trust works in incomprehensible power. This God in whom we trust gives a merciful redemption. And this God in whom we trust performs a perfect justice. Look at the last phrase of verse 25. And was raised because of our justification. God raised up Jesus because of our justification. So what that means is this, that when Jesus died for our sins, a full and sufficient payment was made to provide forgiveness and justification. And folks, this morning, it was done. It was complete. It was paid fully and finally. When Jesus cried out from the cross of Calvary, "It is finished." The word "finished" means complete, paid in full. It's done. The writer of Hebrews says it this way in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 12, "Not with the blood of goats and calves, but with His own blood, He entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption." Jesus Christ paid fully and completely and entirely the price of sin. And folks, nothing else has to be paid. The price was paid fully. Nothing else could be done. What had to be done was done. And it was done through Jesus Christ. And therefore, with sin fully paid and justice completely satisfied, there was no legal reason in the whole universe for death to continue to hold Jesus. And it did not hold Him. He was raised from the dead. Amen. So God raised Jesus from the dead to vindicate the perfection and the completeness of Christ's obedience unto death. And folks, this morning, the resurrection of Jesus Christ was the proof that He accomplished that which was perfect and complete. The Apostle Peter said in Acts chapter 2, verse 24, "Whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death," get this now, "because it was not possible that He should be held by it." It was not possible that He would be held by death. He was raised from the dead. And so the God that we trust is in one who performs perfect justice. And it's perfect justice because sin must be punished. And Christ took that punishment. It's perfect justice because He paid it fully and completely. And it's perfect justice because since the payment is paid, there's nothing else to be paid. Death could not keep Him. And it was just and right that God raised Jesus from the dead. And folks, the resurrection was proof that everything that God said and everything that God did through Jesus Christ was done completely and fully, and God's divine justice was satisfied. This God in whom we trust performs perfect justice. See what Paul's saying in this verse? You see how Paul is drawing our attention to God? He's focused on the means of justification throughout this chapter. It's by grace through faith. And now he brings it right to the ending of this argument. He'll begin something else. But the ending of this argument, he focuses our attention on the one who did it. You see, it's God who is the basis of salvation. And it's God through Jesus Christ. So we now go back then to the question from the beginning. Who or what must we believe in order to be justified or declared right with God? And the answer is, we must believe or trust in God. Believe and trust in God who works with incomprehensible power in raising Jesus from the dead. We trust in God who gave a merciful redemption through the death of Jesus Christ. And we trust in God who performs perfect justice in raising Jesus from the dead because our sins are fully and completely paid. Now, what does that mean for us today? What does that mean for us today? It means this in the very least. You need to trust God today. If you're here today and you've not placed your faith in this God that the Apostle Paul describes, you need to trust this God today. You need to lay aside any confidence in yourself, any trust in yourself, any faith in other gods, and you need to put your faith in this God, the one and only true God who was given this marvelous, wonderful salvation through His Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Believe God today through Jesus Christ and receive this gracious and merciful salvation. Believe God today and He will count your faith as righteousness because your faith will connect you to Jesus Christ, the one who died for you and was raised from the dead. And folks, you will have a righteousness that is not your own. And you will have a righteousness that will give you a right standing before God forever.
Amen. What a joy.
That's God.
Man.
That's what God has done for us through Jesus Christ.
Wow.
I'm glad there's one happy guy here today. Let's bow our heads and let's thank God. And praise God. You know, there are many ways we can express joy, and we can thank God for the joy that He gives us in our hearts. Let's pray together. Father, we thank You so much. Thank You for this clear description by the Apostle Paul of who You are and what You've done. And God, what an amazing work, an astounding work. God, we would say an unbelievable work that You have done through Jesus Christ. But You did it.
Yes, Lord.
And You proved it. And now, by Your great grace and mercy, You offer Jesus and His finished work to us today. Father, if there's anyone here today who's not placed their faith by Your grace in Jesus Christ alone, for justification. May this be the day where Your mercy opens their eyes and opens their hearts to You. We pray for that, Father. And we who are so undeserving but have received it, God, may our lips, may our actions, may our thoughts, and every part of our lives bring glory to You for what You've done and who You are. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let's sing.